circumstances were definitely beyond my control.
A vse je tako, da je stvari iz obrazom prosto bi nije vrlošnji pravilni.
Somehow Krishna wanted me to stay in Janetsk for an extra day and a half.
I Krishna also wrote that so
and I had to accept it just as his arrangement. So I hope you can all see it in the same way. And it has not caused you too much inconvenience. I was told some people were in the airport all night long. Is that true? We also made several trips to the airport. Must have gone there about 4 or 5 times. It's starting to become like a little game. They were playing with us. But I guess these events are becoming quite common nowadays.
No.
So we just have to take it as Krishna's arrangement. If circumstances happen beyond our control, then somehow we have to see that there's a purpose behind it. So for the materialists, the illusory energy acts one way. And therefore it maybe causes great inconveniences for those who are attached and to the illusory energy, the Lord. And they always try to adjust the circumstances. Become constantly frustrated in their attempts. But for a devotee, that same external energy can become transformed to internal energy. And the devotee always adjusts the situation, not externally, but internally. Because if we actually take it into consideration, the external energy is constantly changing us up, another expression to change us up. Tricking us. We make so many plans, but although we make so many plans for success, the external energy is always a way of showing us that those plans are not going to go the way that we planned. So the materialistic plan makers are constantly frustrated. But a devotee sees that same energy as ultimately under Krishna's control. So when they, that same energy acts for the non-devotee to frustrate him. For the devotee, it's seen differently. The devotee sees the workings of the external energy as subservient to the will of the Lord. And therefore, just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharachara, that this material nature works under my direction. So if the material energy is working according to Krishna's direction, the devotee does not try to fight the circumstances that happen beyond his control. He always adjusts to one main focus. The devotee also adjusts the situation. His adjustment is to fix his consciousness on the lotus feet of Krishna. And to see that how I can adjust myself to the situation in such a way to best serve Krishna. In this way, there are never disturbances for a devotee. Because the devotee is always fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. Although, of course, there are many disturbances in the path, in the progressive path of devotional service. It's like I was answering one letter I got from one devotee this morning. She was asking me, how can I avoid disturbances in the execution of my devotional service? But the fact is, there's no avoiding disturbances. When one takes the Krishna consciousness, there will be so many disturbances. Because one is declaring war against Maya. So we should not think that there will be no disturbances when we take the Krishna consciousness. Because Maya will test us to see how sincere we are to advance in devotional service. But the more we adjust ourselves to properly, by adjusting our consciousness to take shelter in the process of chanting Krishna's names, and glorifying Krishna, speaking about Him, and hearing about Him, then all those disturbances will be there. Gradually, we will become unaffected by them. Because Krishna is far superior to Maya. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hayandakara Yaham Krishna Taha Maya Mayara Arikara. The Krishna is like sunshine and Maya is like darkness. Because Maya always thinks herself as Krishna's servant. She won't stand in front of Krishna. If Krishna is there, she'll always stand behind. This is proper etiquette. Just like when a king is coming and he's surrounded by his entourage. They stand behind. He's in front. So it's the same thing, Krishna. Krishna has his many energies. And his energies are all subordinate to him. So wherever there is Krishna, the energies are stand behind. So therefore this verse, Krishna Surya Sam, states that Krishna is like the sunshine and Maya is like darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. So when one takes the Krishna consciousness, immediately the darkness of illusion. Or the influence of Maya will vanish. So in other words, we take shelter in Krishna. Then although Maya will give us so many disturbances, Майя will act in such a way to serve the devotee. By helping that the devotee to take shelter of the Lord. Therefore, the devotee accepts these disturbances as an opportunity to deepen his attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. It's like the famous prayer by Queen Kunti Devi. Deepata shantu takshashvat tatra tatra jagagaro. She prays to Krishna, let those disturbances happen to me again and again. So that we can see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths in this world. Queen Kunti Devi was an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Yet she was constantly subjected to so many disturbances. The Pandavas were also unalloyed devotees of the Lord. And they were also constantly subjected to so many disturbances. Haridas Thakur was an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. So many disturbances were imposed upon him. Balad Maharaj, unalloyed devotee of Krishna. His father tried to kill him. He made every effort possible within his power to kill him. These things are disturbances. So therefore, if we see that the unalloyed devotees of the Lord, they are also not freed from disturbances. But we must learn from their example that whenever they experience disturbances, they take shelter of Krishna. So these disturbances can help the devotee. Because if we become a little bit complacent, lazy, then Maya is right there waiting to capture us. That's what happens. In other words, Maya will help us if we're sincere to take shelter of Krishna. But if we want to enjoy separate from Krishna, then Maya will capture us. She'll present so many alluring present proposals. Alluring? Enticing? Attractive. She will present so many attractive presentations. So many suggestions will be there. We're constantly subjected to these suggestions of Maya. These are also disturbances. When we take to Krishna consciousness, we also see these suggestions of Maya as disturbances. But it's better that we see them as disturbances than to see them as real. To see them as attractive. Better we just label them disturbances. Because if we see them as disturbances, we'll take shelter of Krishna. But if we see them as attractive, Maya's got us. We become a dancing dog, a plaything in the hands of Maya. It's like we see the picture sometimes of the, it shows the work, it's in the Bhagavad Gita, the worker with the puppet strings attached to him.
Как которая попала в землю, а к его рукам и рукам, конечно, привязаны нити, которые тянутся.
And how they are under the influence of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. That is the nature of the conditioned soul. He's got these strings attached to him. And he's being constantly pulled by these different strings. He becomes subservient to the three modes of material nature. And therefore become controlled by this three modes of material nature. Person becomes controlled by his lust, becomes controlled by his anger, his envy. It's called different whips of material nature. Madha, moha, matsarya. It's called lust, anger, greed, envy, madness. These are the different whips of the material nature. And we're constantly being beaten by these different whips. The senses dictate, oh yes, enjoy. And we think, oh yes, that's me. I will enjoy. Whatever you suggest, I will follow. So, this is being controlled by Maya. And once Maya has us captured, there's always one proposal after the next. Because one who is under the influence of the external energy, he's also disturbed. But he thinks that sense gratification is the solution. And therefore his disturbances simply increase. But for the devotee, he can gradually become free from this influence of Maya. Just like this one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu Shastra Kripa Maya Krishna Mukha Hoy Se Jiva Nistari Yari Maya Kahara Chidhaya. That if the conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious, by the mercy of saintly personalities who voluntarily preach Krishna consciousness and help them to overcome Maya, then the conditioned soul is released from the clutches of Maya, who gives him up. In other words, when somebody becomes Krishna conscious, Maya releases them from her clutches. She stands behind. She says, okay, why should I have anything to do with it? He's got the best master. Because he's subservient to Krishna. She's not interested in causing any suffering to those who want to serve Krishna. So she releases them from her clutches. So if we want to be released from Maya's clutches, we have to take shelter of Krishna. That this divine energy of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome. But anyone who surrenders to Krishna can easily overcome. So that is how we overcome the disturbances of this material world. If we take shelter of Krishna and accept that whatever circumstance that Krishna has put us in, then here is an opportunity to engage in Krishna service. This is how we adjust.
Вот как мы можем улучшить свое положение.
Therefore, devotee can always be peaceful.
И поэтому преданный всегда должен быть спокойным.
If he always adjusts in this way.
Если он решает свою трудность в этом.
Of course, for the service of Krishna. It is not that we can simply let every situation control us. Just like one might say, well, if that's how we're supposed to be, and if I'm doing my service, and Maya presents some obstacle, then I'll just accept that as Krishna's arrangement also. And I won't try to overcome Maya's influence. Just like when we read at this Prabhupada Lilamrita, Prabhupada had very big vision to do big things for the pleasure of Krishna and the spiritual master. And there are constant obstacles. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was trying to construct a temple for Shishi Radha Rasa Vihari in Bombay. There was one demon. His name was Mr. Nair. He was always trying to stop Prabhupada's plan for establishing this temple. And also so many other problems were constantly arising. So it is not that Prabhupada just said, well, it looks like Krishna doesn't want the temple. And he just walked away from the situation. One always has to see also when we're engaging our devotional service. One always has to see when we're engaged in our devotional service under the order of the spiritual master. We have to see everything in relationship to the instructions of the spiritual master. So, just as we explained also that when one takes a devotional service, Maya will try to present many obstacles. And Prabhupada also explains that when one tries to spread Krishna consciousness, the material energy will also fight back. But it's to increase also the devotee's determination. To execute the order of the spiritual master. If we want to overcome Maya's influence, we cannot simply become lazy. And as soon as there's some little impediment, we think, oh, that I won't do anything about it. It will be very difficult to advance because there will always be some impediment. So when we're engaged in our service, when Maya throws some impediment or some obstacle before us, we also must be fixed on the order of the spiritual master. And therefore be prepared to overcome every obstacle by being determined to fulfill the order of the spiritual master. So we should be very careful. I wish you could translate this word complacent, because complacent doesn't mean lazy. You don't know the meaning for the word complacent. Complacent means that we just lose our determination. We should be very careful that we don't lose our determination.
Weak-willed.
And then, because if we're weak-willed, Then we're letting Maya control us. So we have to become determined to overcome her influence by always being engaged in Krishna service. Just as Prabhupada gives the example of a sparrow who loses her eggs in the ocean. And when she sees that the eggs have been taken by the ocean, and she begins to empty the ocean out with her little beak. In her determination to get back her eggs. So she constantly she is making this effort with great determination. And this way Garuda sees her efforts. And Garuda threatens that I will take over. And out of fear, the ocean returns the eggs to the sparrow. So Prabhupada gives this example of determination. That we also must be very determined to overcome the influence of Maya. And when Krishna sees that we're constantly endeavoring, He helps us. Tesham satatam uttanam bhajatam priti purvakam. To those who are constantly endeavoring and worshipping me with love, then I help them by giving them the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna just wants to see how much we're willing to endeavor. Therefore, we have to make the endeavor as if the result depends upon us, upon our efforts. But in our hearts, we must know that the result is up to Krishna. Therefore, we have to be very determined. Whenever there's some small obstacle, we simply retreat. Retreat. It's like when the army is losing, it retreats, it goes back. Because also when we retreat, Maya will capture us. Basically, we should understand it's just like war. As soon as we take the Krishna consciousness, we are declaring war. So we want to be very careful that we don't become captured. So we need this protection. We cannot overcome Maya's influence by ourselves. If we try to do it by our own efforts, we'll never be successful. Because Maya is far more powerful than we are. Only Krishna can tell Maya to release us. Only Krishna can liberate one from the influence, from the clutches of the illusory energy. Nobody else can release one. And another name for Krishna is Mukunda. Mukunda means one who gives liberation. Liberation means to become released from the clutches of this material energy. That is a real liberation. So if we want to become released, we must take shelter of Mukunda. We cannot release ourselves. And neither can somebody else release us. In other words, if our hands are tied, hands and feet are tied, bound, it is not possible to get out. And if also everyone around you, if their hands and feet are tied, they also cannot unbind you. We have to be unbound by somebody who is not bound. That is Krishna. Or Krishna's representative. That is the only way that one can be released. By taking shelter of Krishna or Krishna's representative. Then Krishna's representative is as good as taking shelter of Krishna. Because when one takes shelter of Krishna's representative, he's taking shelter of Krishna's instructions manifested through him. So we want to capture Krishna's attention. We want to serve him. So only Krishna can release us. So therefore this is a very important principle to understand. If we want to become liberated from the clutches of this material energy. Material energy is constantly giving us this pain. Another word for liberation is apavarga. This word apavarga comes from different Sanskrit syllables. The word pavarga means pa, ba, and ma. It's five Sanskrit syllables. Pa means parishrama, which means very hard labor. Well, one labors very hard, then the next stage is then his mouth, he begins to foam at the mouth. Foam. Like a horse foams at the mouth. And this is the next stage. Pa, ba, the pa, ba. Ba is biyartata. Biyartata means that after he foams in the mouth, then there is great attachment. And then there's bhaya, or fear.
Maya.
It's the next stage of fear. And the last word is mrityu. So these are five stages of material bondage. This is the meaning of the word pavarga. And apavarga means to become released from all of these things. So we want to become released from the clutches of man. We want to, a devotee seeks to become liberated. But for a devotee, liberation will automatically come. If he simply engages in devotional service. That is the power of devotional service to Krishna. A devotee does not have to wait for liberation. Actually, he can be liberated in this life. He can be liberated even before he gives up this body. Iha yasya hareya dasye kamana manasagire nikalasvati vastasu jivan muktasu uchite. This verse describes that anyone who fully dedicates himself to devotional service with his body, mind, and words. He is certainly a liberated soul. even in this body.
Mm-hmm.
So one can become liberated in this body. One should not think that a liberated person will not be subjected to certain pains or sufferings or disturbances. This is not how one actually judges the characteristics of a liberated person. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that if you have a fan and the blade is spinning, when you pull out the plug of the fan, the blade continues to spin. But the movement of the blade is a result of the previous motion. And that's why it continues to move. The plug has been pulled out. And therefore it is not moving because of the electricity. It is only moving as a result of the previous motion. So in the same way, a person may be bound within this material world. But if he fully becomes engaged in devotional service, it's like pulling out the plug of the fan. There are no more karmic reactions. Although his body still continues to function, his body also grows old. His body may also become diseased. But these are all a result of the previous motion. He's liberated. Just like the other example Srila Prabhupada also gives. That if you take a coconut, and if the inside the coconut separates from the shell, then that's just like a liberated person. He's separate from the body. Within his consciousness is always fixed on Krishna. And therefore he does not identify with the physical body. So one can become liberated even in this body by fully engaging oneself in devotional service. Just as it is also explained by one prayer by Bilbo Mangala Thakur, that he is offering his prayers to the Lord, saying that when one engages in your devotional service, then liberation simply stands waiting at one's doorstep with her hands folded, waiting to serve him. A devotee doesn't have to make any extraneous effort for liberation. Being fully engaged in devotional service is a liberated platform. Therefore, the devotees of the Lord do not even aspire for liberation. Because devotional service is superior to liberation. It is far superior. The pleasure that one derives from the experiences by fully engaging in Krishna's service, it completely surpasses the pleasure that one experiences in liberation. Of course, there are different types of liberation. There is Sayuja Mukti, Sarupya Mukti, Salokya, Sarupya, and Sarshti. These are five different types of liberation. To live on the same planet as the Lord, to have the same opulences as the Lord, to be an eternal companion of the Lord, to have the same features as the Lord. And the fifth is called Sayuja Mukti. Sayuja Mukti means to merge. to become one with Allah. This type of liberation will never be accepted by a devotee. Because this type of liberation is the impersonal liberation. But this impersonal liberation is not complete liberation. Because although one achieves the state of Sayuja Mukti, unless he takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, he will fall from that position. So all these types of liberation are there. The devotee will accept the other four types of liberation. But it's not that the devotee aspires for these liberations. A devotee simply aspires to be engaged in Krishna service. That is all he wants. That brings him the greatest satisfaction. So within this material world, Krishna is very kind. Because he comes himself, and sometimes he sends his representatives to deliver the process by which one can come back to him. It is this process of devotional service to Krishna, which is the most superior means by which one can approach the Lord. A devotional service is so superior and so powerful that is stated that pure devotional service is even greater than Krishna. That is how powerful devotional service is. Because pure devotional service is the only method, means by which one can control Krishna. Krishna becomes controlled by the unalloyed love of his devotee. So that is the that is the method by which the Lord comes to deliver in this age of Kali. That is the method which the Lord comes to deliver in this age of Kali. For becoming released from the clutches of Maya. The best method of serving the Lord in this age of Kali. Kalaya dosha nidhe rajan asti hiko mahadguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangam param vajah. This age of Kali is compared to be like an ocean of all bad qualities. It has one good quality. That simply by chanting the names of Krishna, one can achieve liberation from this material world. Mukta sangam param rajat means that one gets mukti, liberation. But for the devotee, this liberation means that by constantly chanting Hare Krishna, he is being engaged in the service of the Lord. He is praying, "Oh Krishna, please engage me in your loving devotional service." Just like a child crying to its mother. The devotee is appealing to the Lord that I am helpless. By my own efforts, I can never overcome this Maya. By my own efforts, I cannot remain engaged in your service. Therefore, I beg that you please engage me. That is a prayer. And when a devotee chants in this consciousness, Krishna hears that prayer, and he'll give us the opportunity to serve him. But we should be very careful. Because when Krishna gives us that opportunity to serve Him, we should not discriminate. Oh, I was thinking about another service. Can't you give me the kind of service I want? But when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're actually saying, Krishna, please, you give me some service. So Krishna says, here's an opportunity, you can do this. Oh, you don't want? Then why are you asking? In other words, if we take that opportunity to serve Him enthusiastically, then Krishna will see that we want to be engaged in His service. He'll give us more service. And the more service He gives us, the more satisfied one becomes. And the more actually, when the devotee becomes satisfied, and Krishna sees that he wants to serve more, then Krishna becomes so pleased that he wants to satisfy his devotee. So whatever way the devotee wants to serve him, Krishna lets him serve him in that way. That Krishna becomes the servant of his devotee when he sees that a devotee wants to serve him. But if the devotee is always discriminating, no, I'll only do it this way, how will he ever be able to become a servant? How will we ever capture Krishna's attention? If we really want to capture Krishna's attention, He says, I'm attracted by the service rendered by my devotees. Nothing else attracts except the service that is rendered by my devotees. So this is how we can capture Krishna's attention. Then He'll fulfill all our desires. It's just like we're praying every morning that attachment to the lotus feet of the spiritual masters is the perfection that fulfills all our desires. Because when one actually becomes attached, they're serving the instructions of the spiritual master and becomes fully engaged in Krishna's service, that every single desire that's within our heart is fulfilled beyond expectations, even more than we can possibly conceive. Because Krishna wants to fulfill our desires. So therefore, when we're praying and we're chanting, Krishna, please engage in your service, we should be prepared to become Krishna's servant. Even a little service, even the smallest amount of service, that bears permanent result. Because Krishna will never forget whatever small amount of service is rendered. We may forget, but Krishna won't forget. We may try to turn our backs on Krishna, but Krishna won't let us go so quickly. So therefore, we have to try to capture His attention and continue to engage in His service. In this way, a loving reciprocation begins to take place between the Lord and His devotees. And the devotee becomes so satisfied to be engaged in Krishna's service, he doesn't think of liberation. He doesn't think, oh, release me. Because he's so satisfied to serve Krishna. He's already released. That is devotional service. That is the power of being engaged in Krishna's service. So therefore, when we're experiencing disturbances, because as we said, disturbances will always come, then we should take shelter in service. If we don't have any service, then there is no greater misfortune. And if we feel that we don't have any service, then we should chant more sincerely. We should feelingly chant to Krishna to please engage me in your service. And Krishna will hear. It's all the workings of the internal energy. Devotional service has nothing to do with this material world. No one can get devotional service by any material method. Because the devotional service is given by Krishna. So, now we should have faith. And that by constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, that we will be engaged in Krishna service. And we just simply have to constantly pray to Krishna in this way. And He'll arrange for the devotee to be engaged. He'll give that devotional service if we sincerely want it. And then we can advance in Krishna consciousness. Become free from all the disturbances of this material world. And go back home, back to Godhead. Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means no disturbance. Without anxiety. But the material world is called Kunta. Kunta means place of anxiety. We just have to accept that as long as we're in the material world, there will be anxiety. But if we become anxious for Krishna, then Krishna will bring us back to God. So we should always be anxious for Krishna. Anxious to be engaged in His service. Anxious to glorify Him. Anxious to please Him. And in this way, that anxiety will purify us completely. And Krishna will take us back to Hare Krishna. Some questions?
Can you please further explain the point that attachment to the Lord's spiritual master can fulfill all our desires?
Well, the lotus feet of the spiritual master, attachment to the lotus feet of the spiritual master means the attachment to his instructions. If one takes shelter of the lotus feet, that means he becomes subservient to the order. So just as we explained, that only our desires can only be completely fulfilled when Krishna satisfies the desires of His devotees. Material desires can never be fulfilled. Although they may be temporarily satisfied, it's called insatiable lust. Insatiable? Can never be satisfied. As much as we try to gratify the senses and the mind, it always wants more. There's no saturation point. But in spiritual desires, Krishna fully satisfies the devotee. So much so that the devotee does not want anything else except Krishna. On the material platform, the materialist is thinking, I want something else. But on the spiritual platform, the devotee is thinking, I simply want Krishna. And therefore, the more one has Krishna, the more he's experiencing satisfaction. So only Krishna can ultimately satisfy all of our desires. But when we become attached to the lotus feet of the spiritual master, it means we become attached to his instructions. And those instructions are meant to bring us to the lotus feet of Krishna. The spiritual master is considered to be the medium by which one can approach Krishna. And therefore, the instructions given by the spiritual master are non-different from Krishna's instructions. So in this way, if we become attached to his lotus feet, it means we're always attached to following those instructions. And by fixing our consciousness on those instructions, gradually the heart becomes purified. And one can actually attain Krishna's lotus feet. This is how to capture Krishna's attention. It's to serve the order of the spiritual master. Just as Srila Prabhupada gives the example, that if you want to capture the attention of the father, then you give something to his son. Immediately you've captured his attention. Because the son is so dear to the father. So in the same way, if you want to capture Krishna's attention, then we follow the instructions of his confidential servants. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yayidam paramangu yam apakteshva bhajasati. That the one who explains the supreme secret to others, for him devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end he will come back to me. Nachatasman manusheshu kastin me priyakritam. There's no servant who is more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Krishna considers those devotees who are always preaching his glories to be his confidential servant. Therefore, by serving the instructions of the spiritual master, it is like, that is the way to capture Krishna's attention. And Krishna becomes pleased by that service. And because he is acting from within the heart, he will fulfill all our desires. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that the living entity is always getting assistance. He's getting assistance externally by the instructions of the spiritual master. And then by following the instructions of the spiritual master, he also gets assistance internally by the Lord within the heart. So, in this way, Krishna will fulfill our desires by following the instructions of the external manifestation of the Lord within the heart. which is the spiritual master.
В одной из лекций Хари Кришна Вишнупада говорилось, что мы не можем использовать майю для преданного служения. Но вот Гуру Махарадж говорил, что в некоторых случаях майя как бы помогает преданным, если я правильно понял. Попроси, пожалуйста, объясните этот момент, как это, то есть более подробно.
Said that we shouldn't use Maya in our devotional service. But he said just now that somehow Maya sometimes is helping us in our devotional service. So please
explain. I said that when for the devotee that same external energy becomes internal energy.
And then
it becomes the internal when it's used for Krishna's service. It's no longer the external energy. Maya acts upon the conditioned souls in one way. But for the devotee, Maya acts another way. And it's because it's the internal energy. It's the same, originally the same energy of Krishna. Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogamaya. Yogamaya acts upon the devotee to bring the devotee closer to Krishna. But Yogamaya expands into the material world as Mahamaya. Which brings one away from Krishna. Same energy, but it acts in different ways. Yes.
How we can put the borderline between Maya and devotional service to Krishna?
What is the borderline between Maya and devotional service to Krishna? Well, in the beginning stages of devotional service, we have to follow the process of Vaidhi Bhakti. And the process of Vaidhi Bhakti gives us a line of definition. That line of definition are the rules and regulations of devotional service. In other words, there are certain regulative activities that one must perform. In accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master. So one has to learn how to engage his devotional service in accordance with this, with these definitions. And anything contrary is Maya. As one advances in devotional service, then one can come to the more a spontaneous platform of devotional service. And on a spontaneous platform of devotional service, one transcends all these rules and regulations. There are no duties to perform for one who is on a spontaneous platform of devotional service. And he may even apparently engage in some activity which appears to be contrary to the rules and regulations. And this is a very advanced stage of devotional service. It's Raga Mukha Bhakti. But on the beginning, one has to go by the rules and regulations. Therefore, the Vaishnava Acharyas give us these rules and regulations. as guidelines to know what is Maya and what is Krishna conscious.
Can spiritual master make mistakes, and how we can improve?
How can we improve the spiritual master? It's not the business for the disciple to improve the spiritual master. Then he's not your spiritual master. You can't use the term spiritual master if you're saying I have to improve it. The disciple has to see that the spiritual master actually is following Krishna's instruction. Prabhupada explains this point in many places. He says, he even uses himself as an example. He said, although I may not be perfect, he said, and I'm not perfect. He said, I'm not liberated. He says, advanced devotee never says he's liberated. Because advanced devotee always thinks himself to be fallen. But he thinks himself in that way. So, because he depends always on the order of his spiritual master and Krishna. So he says, even though I may not be perfect, if I'm following somebody who's perfect, to that degree that I'm following him, I'm perfect. He gives an example. He said, just like you, there may be an expert mechanic. And if you're not expert and you're assisting the mechanic, if the mechanic tells you exactly what to do, and to the degree that you follow his every instruction, although you're not a perfect mechanic, whatever you do is perfect, because you're following his instructions. So in the same way, I may not be perfect. Or the spiritual master says that of himself. Or any spiritual master will say that of himself. But if I'm not perfect, to the degree that I am following somebody who is perfect, to that degree, I'm perfect. That's what Srila Prabhupada said. I was quoting Prabhupada. That's what he said in his lectures. Now, we in Srila Prabhupada, we saw perfection. Because he was always following the order of his spiritual master. So we should not judge perfection just in terms of material abilities. Perfection is in the heart. And how much one is attached to serving the order of Guru and Krishna. Although on the external platform it may appear like there are some defects. Or it may appear that there's some mistake. But if internally he's always following the order of Guru and Krishna, then Krishna has a plan. It may look like something externally, but Krishna's plan will reveal itself. So we have to be very careful about what we judge as mistakes. It may look like a mistake, but Krishna may make it look like something completely different afterwards. So we don't judge externally. We have to see how strictly one is following the order of Govind Krishna. And if you see somebody who is strictly following the order of Govind Krishna, and if your faith increases that yes, this person is strictly following the order of his spiritual master, then I should follow him. That is how one sees the actions of the spiritual master. Everything else will come. Yes.
Как мы можем сосредоточиться на звуке, да? Если мы слышим вибрацию, да? How we can be concentrated on the meaning of this chanting if we are concentrated on the sound?
I always answer this question. The way Srila Prabhupada answered it. Well, devotee wants to ask Srila Prabhupada, what do we think about when we chant Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, think? He said, we should just hear. So, the point he was making is if we try to hear the sound vibration, that's all that's really necessary. But we'll experience that when we try to hear, it's not that the thinking process just immediately sets off. It would be nice if it did. It would be nice if it did. But it doesn't. And the thinking process still continues. And sometimes we may even find that the thinking process is practically going through the whole period of time that we're chanting our rounds. Every once in a while we catch a glimpse of the sound of the holy name. And every once in a while we catch a slight glimpse, like a slight revelation of the sound of the holy name. And then we think, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be listening. I forgot I'm supposed to be hearing the sound vibration. Because the mind was just going on and on and on. Thinking about what we're going to do this afternoon. Planning out our schedule. What am I going to do next week? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So the point is that although there should be a little, there should be a child, we should chant like a child crying for its mother. It means it's the attitude which one approaches the holy name of the Lord. With the attitude of full dependence, we have to want to take shelter of that sound vibration. So that may require a little thinking. Every once in a while we have to think about how we want to take shelter of the holy name. And then all of a sudden the holy name may come into a focus again for a little while. But the perfection is to simply hear. And whatever we have to do to get to that point, we should do it. Even if it means we have to think about hearing. Somehow we got to get there. Just hear the holy name. And the cleansing process will take place. Okay, so I think maybe we can have a short kirtan and we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!
Srila Prabhupada ki jai!